This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into episode 445 of the Skate Podcast. I am Brian DeFelice, joined by Bridget Prue and Scott McLaughlin. Bridget and Scott, today I am recording live from parts unknown. I feel like I am in Shawshank Redemption. I am so tight in this booth right now. I know that listeners are probably thinking I'm in jail or something, which wouldn't be surprising. No, yeah, I'm under the stairs like Harry Potter. I got Dudley. I got Dudley.
Okay, me.
Yeah. No, I'm in the local.
That was the best room we could afford to have Brian set up across from Warrior. He's spying on everyone going in and out, trying to nail down this coaching search.
Yeah, I've had a fake mustache. I've been leaning back in my front seat so people don't see me, even though they have no idea who I am. I just feel like it needs to be disguised. Don Sweeney could literally see me and have no clue who I am.
He's just a guy from Southie over here, just, you know, walking along.
Yep. No, I'm recording from a local Sheridan in beautiful Nashua, New Hampshire. Where I live normally in Watertown, they're doing some work in the attic. I think it's insulation work they're doing, so I can't be in the house. My landlord set it up, and I'm in New Hampshire visiting my parents today. So I found a local hotel, and I'm in one of those soundproof booths, and I can't move 6 inches to my left or right now. So
is that do all Sheridans have a soundproof booth in there?
I don't know. I'm glad they have it because I really had nowhere else to go this morning. But man, am I confined in here? Holy smokes!
Can you give us a tour?
You're looking at it. hey, you see my hand?
Your kitty corner in there.
There's nowhere for me to go. There's nowhere for me to go. So
we're just in the middle of the podcast. We're just gonna have to see like towels come flying in, like the maids are just like thrown in.
Yeah, he's gonna have to like just. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm glad you're not claustrophobic. I'm a little bit claustrophobic, so I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, no, it's not ideal, but we're gonna make way. What's also not ideal, Bridget and Scott, is when Scott, after this episode, takes off for Maine and the Bruins inevitably drop the news that they have officially hired Marco Sturm, which to this point, obviously, is not official news, but we can get into all of that, of course, that news kind of... That speculation broke more so on Tuesday. We're recording on Thursday, but I'll just give you the quick lowdown on Tuesday afternoon. It was early Tuesday afternoon, around noon, actually. David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period reported the Bruins were in the final stage of their head coaching search, and that former Bruin Marco Sturm and former Edmonton Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft were among remaining contenders. I know Mitch Love's name was thrown out there, too. Later that night, around 10 p.m., Cam Robinson of Elite Prospects reported that he has heard Sturm is set to become the next head coach of the Boston Bruins. And that's kind of where things stand right now. I know that maybe Elliot Friedman said something the following day that, you know, nothing's set in stone, but that's essentially the speculation we're going off of today.
Yeah. And yeah. I think they've made their decision. I think they just haven't announced it yet. So I think that's why we're in the danger zone here for recording and having to re-record later. So
yeah, I don't know that as of Wednesday they had made a final decision. Now maybe, you know, we're recording Thursday morning. Maybe Thursday morning is when that they're making it or did make it. But yeah, it was interesting to hear Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts on Wednesday morning, which I think that might have been recorded late Tuesday night after the Edmonton Dallas game. He said that they still had a meeting with Marco Sturm coming up. So whether that was either later Wednesday or even Thursday or Friday, they did meet with Woodcroft earlier this week. And I don't know, like people I've talked to, like I talked to someone like early in the day, yesterday, Wednesday, and was pretty much told like there's not going to be a decision today. So that was like, there wasn't even any doubt that they weren't at a final decision yet. So, yeah, I don't know. It is curious because usually when you get these reports of it, like really getting down to it, and then Cam Robinson throwing out there that they're going with Sturm. And I think Cam Robinson is really good. If people aren't familiar with him, he breaks a lot of news on prospects. So this would be kind of a little different for him if he were the one to break a coaching hire. But he is tied into like AHL teams and sources. So Marcus Sturm obviously is an AHL coach until or unless he gets hired away. So, you know, I like connecting dots. I was like, I could see how he would get the story. But then there's, it never feels good as a reporter when you put something like that out there and then no one confirms it. No one confirms it. And now we're, you know, like what, 36 hours past it. And it's still just kind of dangling out there. So, yeah, like really interesting where what does seem clear is like they're down to the last couple candidates at the very least.
Do you think maybe if he had like a legitimate source on this, maybe the Bruins told, because Marco Sturm was up for other jobs as well. Like the Bruins job was not the only job he interviewed. Maybe they said, hey, you're our guy. If this is the job you want, like, and let him make his decision, you know?
I don't think they would tell him that. I think they would say, you're our guy. And what, how do we get this done?
I guess true. but
like you don't, if you decide someone's your guy, you don't give them any choice to back out or go somewhere
else. Yeah, but what if he said, oh, I still have one more interview left?
Then you say, what will it take to get you to cancel that interview?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, once you decide someone's your guy, you do everything you can to close the deal. You don't let him leave the building and travel to Seattle for an interview.
You bring him to Rail Stop and you get dinner and you you walk outside, you get a nice dinner, you say, let's sign this paper right now.
Yeah, I mean, so this is, you know, as we sit here Thursday morning, not finalized yet. I predicted on our last episode that they will absolutely announce it while I'm away in Maine Thursday or Friday. So I still 100% expect that. But yeah, look, I mean, we have all been on Team Sturm for a while. I still think he would be my leader in the clubhouse.
I think they're just following our off-season plan and our mock off-season. They're like, great idea. Step one.
Well, then they're going to make a lot of people unhappy because a lot of people did not like our off-season plans.
there aren't many off-season plans that all Bruins fans would agree on, like we talked about. So I mean, that's a product of where the Bruins are in, right now in their organization. They are a team that, because we've talked about it. I know they finished fifth last in the standings, but some of it was circumstantial. You had some key injuries, and then there was the literal tanking that they did after selling that got them to plummet to the fifth worst record. But with provided health next year and some bounce back performances from certain players and some key acquisitions, the Bruins, they really should be fighting with some other bubble teams for the playoffs. It depends on what those personnel moves are, but there are those who think that the Bruins should just, you know, tear it all down and trade everybody and completely rebuild. There's those that think the Bruins aren't that far away. And the Bruins themselves don't plan on this being a long rebuild. So they have a lot of options that they can do this offseason, but there's no offseason plan that any fan, media member, or team member could lay out right now that everybody would universally agree on.
Well, I don't think there's anything in life that people universally agree on. I was talking about last episode, like if this was the year that Jack Eichel was up for a contract and hadn't signed an extension, and that would kind of be the home run. Like everybody probably looked to that as like, okay, great center, good on the power play, local guy, like that signing would have everything. but there's just not that option this year. And there's certainly, we got plenty of comments about people not being high on Mitch Marner as a guy that once he gets to the playoffs, like if you are a playoff team, which you should be a playoff team if you add him, but does he do enough for you in the playoffs for it to mean anything? And then you lock him down for 7 years and more money than Pasternak, then, you know, it doesn't look like a good contract if his playoffs are not up to snuff, which people rightfully so have watched what he's done in Toronto, which has been a perennial playoff team, and haven't seen him do enough there.
Bridget, I just got to push back real quick, and I need Scott's help here. There have to be things that people universally agree on. I can't let that comment slide. Traffic. We could all agree traffic sucks, right? Let me know in the comments.
You said one weirdo. I was like, it's a great time.
I love traffic. I love just sitting in my car going nowhere.
Maybe like mosquitoes. Mosquitoes is like, most people don't like mosquitoes. I don't know. That's universally hate, though. That's not universally like. I'm talking about universally like.
Yeah.
Dogs, like, not even everybody likes dogs. I don't know why. But
I mean, I would say pizza, but then there's lactose intolerant and those that don't, you know, and vegans and stuff. And mosquitoes is a good one, Bridget. Yeah. Can you find something
for universally like, though?
That's like, I had a friend growing up who didn't like chocolate, and I was like, for any kid to not like chocolate, that kind of broke it for me, because I was like, That's insane. Like, I didn't know anyone else who didn't like chocolate, and yet there you go. The one person who doesn't like chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to take up too much time here, because now we'll do a tailspin. But in the comments, if you can think of something everybody universally likes or hates, please let us know. We need to know these.
Hates is easier, but likes, money. Right?
I'm sure there's an argument for everything. I'm sure there's an argument and a counter argument for everything.
Patrice Bergeron, he's perfect. So
that's true.
Patrice Bergeron is pretty universally liked. I don't know if I've ever seen a bad comment about Patrice Bergeron. Now that I think of it, he could be the next. Well, I mean, he'd have to be the Prime Minister of Canada. We can't have him here, unfortunately. But why does he have citizenship here? I don't know.
He does, but I still think you have to be born here to be president.
I think so. Yeah, I think he's. I don't know. I don't know the rules, clearly.
Yeah, but I mean, since like, but you know, bringing it back to coaching though, like we're talking about offseason plans and how there is no perfect path, and it's like, yeah, that's part of the reason this coaching hire is so important, because it's the next coach is going to be asked to do sort of several different things, and like maybe this is worth getting into, because I feel like we haven't done a whole lot of like, okay, once they hire this coach, like what's the checklist? Like, what do they actually have to do? And it's like, well, you got to build good relationships with Charlie McAvoy and David Pastrnak, because they are the core guys that this next generation is being built around, and they're your best players. You got to establish relationships with Jeremy Swayman and goalie Bob, assuming you're keeping Bob Asenza on as goalie coach. We know Jeremy Swayman just had a good World Championships. He says he feels like a whole new goalie. Okay, let's make sure we have a plan to like keep that going into next season. Because again, getting Swayman on track is like the single most important thing that can happen for the Bruins this offseason, I think. And then there's working with young kids and figuring out a way to get more out of whoever is around, whether it's Patra, Minton, Lauri, if Lysell gets a shot, whoever, like, this team needs young players to step up and maybe not be stars. You know, that's probably asking too much, but be impactful players. So you need someone who's good at working with young players and can maximize whatever talent they do have. You need someone to reestablish a defensive identity that clearly was nowhere to be found to start last season, was there briefly when Sacco took over, and then disappeared again. That Don Sweeney has mentioned that as, you know, something they need to get back to. And I would say, even if Sweeney hadn't highlighted that himself, like, clearly this team needs to play better defense and have more structure. So there's so much that, you know, and like, that's not even getting into like do they need to make the playoffs or how far do they have to go? That's just like, here's what needs to be prioritized over the summer into training camp, building up to opening night.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good news is that if it is Sturm, he's been developing guys at the AHL level, which oftentimes those guys are fresh out of college. You get a combination of guys that have been there a while and that are kind of like career AHLers, and then you got the guys that go back and forth, and then you got those really like fresh, young guys that have not been polished at all, right? Like, say, for the, just to give an example for the Bruins, like Don Zlashmelis just came right from UMass to Providence, and like the first professional experience he had is in the AHL, and like trying to get him up to professional speed is what they did in Providence, what Marco Sturm is tasked with doing with the Ontario Reign in the AHL over the last few seasons as the head coach there. So he's at least got that experience right there for some of those younger guys. We talked about it. The bottom six is going to be pretty young, we think, because if they do want to go out and spend the money on a top six forward and or, you know, maybe two, you know, maybe two middle six forwards, they're going to end up with a pretty young bottom six that probably includes Minton and Patra, or I mean, even Kuznetsov is still very young. There's a little bit of a language barrier there. So that could be interesting, though. They do have, at least they have Nikita Zadorov for that. Like, I could tell that Kuznetsov definitely leans on him for, like, he looks at him like when people say stuff and he's like, I have no idea what's going on. But that actually is a pretty good asset, because Zadorov's actually, he's pretty good at with his English. So, but yeah, there's so many young players. So that's certainly the person who takes over should be someone who can help bring confidence out of those guys. I mean, Fabian Lysell maybe feels like the system so far has overlooked him. Maybe Patra feels like that a little bit too, because he's been sent down a few times, though. I think his confidence probably still is a little bit more there than Lysell's. Trying to think, Brian, what do you think that the next head coach needs to do, like, right off the bat coming in? What impression do they need to make? What is the most important thing for them to do, say, in the first month of coming in?
It's a good question. I think that from an X's and O's perspective, I need to see more of the roster come the fall, because there's definitely a lot of strategic things that need to change, especially on their special teams. Their special teams have to improve. But as far as this summer, what can they do? I think it's reestablishing the culture that Marco Sturm himself was part of building from late 05 to late 2010, before he was traded, when he was riddled with injuries. He did not win a Stanley Cup with the Boston Bruins. He was traded about 6 months prior. But he was very much a part of that championship culture that they eventually built. And I think there's something symbolic that 15 years later, he has an opportunity unofficially. Well, I guess I'll reserve that until he's officially hired. But it appears he may have an opportunity 15 years later to help be a part of building that culture again in Boston, this time as a head coach. So I think that when you're somebody who's younger and has, like Sturm is compared to many coaches around the league, somebody who's played in the league relatively recent. I mean, Marco Sturm was playing, I think, his final game for maybe the Florida Panthers, maybe in 2012, 2013. You know, we're only talking just over a decade ago he was in the league. So he has that relatability. And I just think that him, along with, you know, Zdeno Chara is around the organization right now. You know, Patrice Bergeron's around the organization right now in an ambassador role. I wouldn't be surprised if the two of them had increased roles as time goes on, where you see Marco Sturm, Patrice Bergeron, Zdeno Chara, Tuukka Rask is around as an ambassador. Adam McQuaid is in player development. So I think that right now, Don Sweeney and Kim Neely are looking around and saying, we have individuals in the organization that have done it as players. They've built a championship culture as players when the culture in 2005 was not great. And I just think that they have confidence that maybe those guys can do it again in leadership roles as non-players. So I think it's not just going to be on Marco Sturm individually. He's going to have some help around him in a support system. But I do think that Marco Sturm can come in and demand tempo and practice from his players. He can demand accountability with his players. And I just think that the culture needs to improve because they lost a lot of leadership in Brad Marchand and obviously Charlie Coyle and Brendan Carlo. Now, they were never the last two guys I mentioned. They were never part of a championship team in Boston, but they certainly were good leaders. So the Bruins need to reestablish their identity as an organization. And I think that from a management perspective and a coaching perspective, Marco Sturm would be a good candidate to do just that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Like, it's such a big part of, you know, especially with a younger team, right? Like, Jim Montgomery didn't have to do that as much. He comes in with a veteran team that, I mean, Montgomery even admitted himself, like, there were times that season, that record-setting 22-23 regular season where it was like, he kind of just had to be hands-off. Like, just don't get in the way. You know, like, that team had it. They already had the leadership. Just, you know, some messaging that needed changing. Yeah, this is a very different situation than that was. That was an older team, as it turns out, trying to make one last run. And then Montgomery did have to inherit a different looking team or did have to lead a different looking team the next season. But it's a totally different spot now. Like you mentioned it, all that leadership out the window, you know, all the veterans out the window, like this is going to be, it's a young team. It's going to have new leaders who at least haven't worn a C before. You know, depending on who they add, I guess in theory they could maybe bring someone in who has, but yeah, new like second layer of leadership. And you're right, coming off a season where it felt like that culture kind of slipped away and that identity slipped away. So often last season, we saw them just unable to get back on track, unable to stop the bleeding, whether that was in game or even game to game with losing streaks piling up. Those are all things that in the past, it was like you had confidence that they knew how to stop the bleeding. They knew how to put their foot down and say, okay, that's enough. Like now we close out this game. Now we end this, you know, we don't lose three in a row. We get going, we start playing the right way for, you know, get ourselves a good 2-3 week stretch. And they can never do that last year. They can never get themselves out of it. So, and part of that is talent, but part of it is that culture and identity and guys kind of holding each other accountable and being able to pull themselves out. And they may very well need the new head coach to be part of that process because you have some guys in that room who quite frankly might not know how to do it or maybe haven't even done it before. So yeah, having someone who's played and been a part of it and been, you know, out with a good organization in LA, like I think that is something that Sturm could do. By all accounts, he's extremely well respected by his players. Which doesn't necessarily mean he's, you know, quote unquote player's coach. I think he is to an extent, but I also think he's an all business type of guy.
But you know who he also is familiar with is the market, the Bruins fans. When Marco Sturm came to Boston, Joe Thornton was traded back in November of 2005. Marco Sturm was a piece of the package that Boston received, and the trade straight up on paper at the time and as we look back at it now, was not a great trade for the Boston Bruins. Clearly, Joe Thornton went on to be an MVP player that season. And while ultimate success eluded him in San Jose, that trade certainly on paper was not a win for the Boston Bruins. But one of the bright things to come from it was Marco Sturm. And as I said a few minutes ago, he entered the Bruins organization in arguably their darkest hour, certainly in recent memory at the time. And he took the ice at what back then I think was TD Bank North Garden, and in front of 7,000 empty yellow seats. And along with Patrice Bergeron and Mark Savard and Brad Boyes and Zdeno Chara, Tim Thomas, you know, Andrew Ferentz, Dennis Wiedemann, like that group of guys eventually, you know, they had to suffer through the 06-07 season. But in 07-08, we all know that that's the season that put the Bruins back on the map. And it was their blue collar work ethic. It was the drama of forcing Montreal to seven. Montreal beat the Bruins 8 times that regular season. They were 8-0 against Boston in the regular season. Then they were up 3-1 in the series. The Bruins fight back, and all of a sudden the city is believing in what the Bruins have started to build. And the following year they win the East, and then 2 years later they win the Cup. So Marco Sturm has seen that. He knows what the expectations are from the fans in Boston. He knows what fans in the market expect of their players. And beyond winning, it's work ethic and compete, because every fan base wants their team to win a Stanley Cup championship. But that's obviously not realistic every single year. What you can expect every year is compete. And I do think that Sturm, certainly Bergeron and Chara, if they end up having increased roles within the organization, they know that as well. A guy like Chris Kelly knows that too, right? Who was on the Bruins bench last year. But, you know, Kelly, not for nothing, he entered the trade deadline. He entered the Bruins during the trade deadline the year they won the Cup. So he wasn't really a part of building that culture. He was a part of the eventual culture that got there. And so I don't know. I just think there's a difference there as well. I think the experience Sturm had as a player, seeing Boston at rock bottom and being with them right up until pretty much they were Stanley Cup champions, I think there's a lot of merit in that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.